Live from Bangor, this is Maine Outdoors. This is Matt Dunlap sitting in for V. Paul Reynolds, along with Norm Plord, our engineer and brains of the outfit. Welcome to Maine Outdoors. If you like to hunt, fish, trap, snowmobile, camp, bike, hike, birdwatch, snowshoe, or do anything in the Maine outdoors, this is the show for you. This hour, Norm and I, along with our special guests and you, will explore the Maine outdoors. If you'd like to participate, the number to call in live is 1-800-966-1039, and we'll give that out a couple of times. We try to make a point of doing that. So here we are. Good evening, Norm.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Not bad. It's been a busy week. Things are starting to warm up. It's light much later now all of a sudden, isn't it?
And it's warmer, too.
Yeah, a lot warmer. I guess we're supposed to get some snow pretty soon. We're not out of the woods yet on winter, but seeing a lot of water run.
We're on the good side.
We're on the good side of it, I think. Unless, you know, you're an ice fisherman or a snowmobiler, and then you're starting to think about packing stuff up. We're going to talk about that. We have a lot to talk about tonight, so we're going to get right to it. So let's tell you who we're going to be talking to tonight. We have a very special guest we're going to be talking to in the second half of the show. Christy Holmes of Maine Women Hunters. She does some writing on a freelance basis for a bunch of publications. And she'll be with us the second half of the show. And then, of course, we're also going to have Nick Archer, an old friend of mine. I served on the SAM board with him years back. And he's going to be talking about the Presque Isle Fish and Game Club show coming up very soon. And so we're going to get into that. But that brings us to the key of the whole show, which is Outdoor Digest, which is brought to us each and every week, as it always is, by my favorite outdoor publication, the Northwood Sporting Journal. So the question is, did you remember to turn your clocks ahead? If you're tuned in, you certainly remember to turn your clocks ahead. This weekend was the 82nd Eastern Maine Sportsman Show put on by the Penobscot County Conservation Association. I got to go over there yesterday for a while. I don't know if you got to go to the Sportsman Show or not, Norm, but it was a great take.
No, I didn't make it.
Well, you missed a great show. I caught up a lot of old friends because they had the guides from Ontario and their fishing trips. And
right.
You had the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine was there. And the Sporting Journal had a booth. Saw a lot of old friends like Dave Georgia and Mike Georgia and Vic right. Morin. And ran into Lila Ware and her husband Carol with their guide school. And it was just a nice chance to catch up with a lot of friends. And, of course, the Maine Youth Fish and Game Association had a booth. Thankfully, it was well manned, so I didn't have to pull a shift there because I was – really just wanted to walk around. But one of the things I thought about in relation to the sportsman shows, because we always talk up the sportsman shows. We had Penobscot Fly Fishers earlier in the month, and of course now we've had Eastern Maine and now we've got the Presque Isle coming up. You know, the groups that get to participate in these shows, and they sell the raffle tickets. Maine Youth Fishing Game had a raffle, and we raised something like $2,300 that we netted from this raffle that's going to go straight to the youth programs. And every organization that gets to be a part of the Sportsman Show gets something like that out of it. So we really want to thank the sponsors of these shows, like the Penobscot County Conservation Association, for their hard work. It's a great show. I was glad to be a part of it. Ran into some of my old game warden friends. That was a lot of fun. So we mentioned it's getting warmer out. We do want to remind people to make sure you check the ice, because that wind will, you know, take the ice right off the lake. Keep an eye on your ice shack. Make sure it's off the ice. By ice out or within 3 days of the close of the season, whichever is earlier, and the season ends on March 31st. So keep an eye out for that. Meantime, keep an eye on the Fish and Wildlife website and the Fish Stocking Report, and get on there and get your license if you haven't done that already. Like, unfortunately, I haven't gotten my license yet. I thought of that as I was writing this up today. It's like, yeah, I got to get my license so I can get into the Moose Lottery, which is due by May 15th. It always seems like a little early to do that, but nonetheless, it's always May 16th when I was in the legislature and on the Fish and Wildlife Committee. I always had these heartrending calls from folks. I forgot, it's a hard deadline. Got to get it in.
It is. Talking about sportsman shows, I have Nick on.
Oh, you have Nick on? Nick Archer. Nick Archer from the Presque Isle Fish and Game Club. Good evening, Nick.
How you guys doing?
Well, you know, if we were doing much better, we'd probably have to take a break, go down to City Hall and get a special amusement permit.
Well, I don't have to worry about getting my moose application in on time this year.
Oh, that's right.
Last year, we took a nice bull up in zone one. So
Oh my! Zone one is a great place to hunt. I went up there with my daughter, and because it was really hot when we were up there, and we unfortunately she had stuff to do at school, so we had to cash in. But then it got cool, and everybody tagged out on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. So it's a great place to hunt, though. So what's going on in Presque Isle coming up?
Well, we're coming back the same as you, as our friends at PCCA, and Woody and I have been talking for a very long time and comparing notes because we're both on university main campuses and everything that goes along with that.
Yep.
And of course, as successful as the Orono show is, that we were able to get all that taken care of, and the Presque Isle show is back since for the first time since 2019. And to tell you the truth, I probably have the best looking floor I've ever put together for a sportsman show in the last 21 years.
Well, I checked out.
We're getting a huge, huge amount of support.
I checked out the website. You have like, what, 75 vendors or something like that?
Yeah, it goes up and down a little bit depending upon the spaces that are taking. But we are pretty close to not having any space left.
Wow.
I always reserve that statement towards the end because you want to be able to fit something special that comes along at the end, and every sportsman show does the same thing.
Now, for folks,
but we have an excellent looking floor, and very excited about it.
Now, for folks who want to know what reason we're going to give them, to drive 2.5 hours north of Old Town to go to the show, you got a lot going on. You got the kids trout pond sponsored by LL Bean, right?
Right, LL Bean, and they partner. What's unique situation with that is they partner with the Roosting Band of Micmacs, who has, if you've never seen it, a beautiful brook trout hatchery on Route 1 in Caribou. And so the trout come from the Micmacs, and then the LL Bean financially supports us, plus they send folks to the show, the Bean Boot, et cetera.
Yep.
So that's going on.
And you got some archery shooting and as an air rifle?
Cabela's has donated an air bow range. The Bryan Pond has a bow range. We have a rifle range, and we have an electronic shooting range as well, all geared towards kids. We get a lot of families go through our show.
Now, I noticed that you have some door prizes that you're offering up. What are
they? Well, we have six bicycles because we've accumulated them over the last 3 years. So we're going to give them all away all at once. We have a Old Town canoe that was donated in part by Board Bike and Ski here in the city of Presque Isle. And Operation Game Thief has donated a lifetime hunting and fishing license that we're going to give away for the first time this year.
Nice. Nice. How much does it cost to get in?
It's $5. And this is as close as you can get to a hook and bullet show anywhere. And we have people coming from all over the Northeast. And, of course, New Brunswick, one vendor from Quebec. And it's just got a lot to look at.
All right. What are the dates and times?
March 25th, 9 to 5. March 26th, 9 to 4.
That sounds like
that's at Gentile Hall at the University of Maine Presque Isle campus.
That's the big field house there. It's right off the highway.
Yep. 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 You can't miss it hardly.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to, hopefully I'll be able to get up there and visit with all you folks. It's always nice to see everybody up there too. It's a great show. I've been there many times. So good luck with it. And we hope to hear more about it as it happens.
Well, you can plan your whole day there. We've got a in-town restaurant that tears everything down and sets up inside the show, from lobster rolls to homemade foods and everything. So you can do the whole thing there when you come. So hopefully everybody can make it.
All right. Well, we'll see you up there, Nick.
All right, guys. Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Nick Archer of the Presque Isle Fish and Game Club talking about their upcoming sportsman show on the 25th and 26th. And at the end of the month, you got the State of Maine Sportsman Show down in Augusta, and that's March 31st and through April 2nd. That's a three-day show. A couple other neat things I wanted to point out, Norm. Our old friend Peter Cowan, who is the known online as the Bee Whisperer, he's been on the show at least once or twice. He does beekeeping classes, and I've always wanted to do one, but I've never quite had the time. But he's doing one that's an online class. It's an introductory class.
Mm-hmm.
And check it out. If you're on social media, check it out on Facebook. It's like $10, and you don't have to be there at the time. You can download the videos, and learn a little bit about the fundamentals of beekeeping. So I'm going to check that out. So check that out on Facebook on the Bee Whisperer page. And then, you know, we're talking about, you know, apps, right? Last year, I downloaded the Cornell Ornithology Lab Merlin app. Now, I'm not much of a bird watcher. And, you know, one of the folks we've had on here many times is Bob DeShane, who's written a bunch of books about birding. And he's he talks up this app because it's really cool. Now, as I was getting into the truck to come to the radio station, there's a bunch of birds in the tree behind my house. And they had a weird call. I didn't recognize it. So I pulled up the app. And what you can record it, and I'm going to play this recording right now, and you can hear it. This is right behind my house. Now, I recorded that, and of course, then you can just play it into the, you know, it'll tell you what it is. Those are Bohemian waxwings, which apparently they're in migration right now.
That's pretty neat.
Very neat, and there are thousands of birds that you can get. And of course, it'll save your recording for you as long as you want. And it's just another neat thing to do. I think outdoors, because you don't have to get a book and try to figure stuff out. It's right there on your phone. Check it out. So I want to say hello to a couple friends. I think Jim Layton's listening out there. And
yes, he usually is.
Yes, we want to say hi to our old friend Jim, our old banjo picker, and one of my coworkers, Nancy and her husband Matt Bodine. They're listening tonight, so we want to say hello to them, see them at work, see Nancy at work tomorrow. And I think that's about all I have. Don't forget to get your license, maine.gov/IFW. What else? You got anything else for us on that?
Nothing else, except we got commercial coming up.
Well, let's take a commercial, but before we do, let's do a trivia
question. Oops, sorry about that.
We'll do it.
I messed up.
All right. We'll do the trivia question afterwards.
Maybe we can squeeze it in real quick.
We can't squeeze it in quick. We'll do it afterwards.
Sorry about that. That was interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting.
It doesn't look like anything was programmed for the news.
Well, let's do a trivia question, and let's see if we can do it again. Maybe there's something else on the other side. All right, so. Here we go. You ready?
Go for it.
All right. The start of open water fishing isn't far away, although actually there's some open water fishing year-round, but let's just be traditional, shall we? So people who fly fish are busily tying emergers, especially mayflies. At least that's what's on my vice right now, is mayflies and some royal coachmen and things like that. Mayflies live for about a year as a larva, but once they hatch out, they live as adults for only about a day. It's just an amazing thing to think about. You know, they live for a day, and they mate, they lay their eggs, and then they die. In our daily lives, as the weather warms up, we're bound to see a lot of common houseflies.
Oh, we do.
Yes, we do. Now, here's the trivia question. How long does a housefly live?
Too long.
Do we want to try the news again?
We can try.
But all right. The answer to our trivia question, give us a call at 1-800-966-1039.
Tell you what, I'm not going to transfer just because the way this is programmed, this could be the half-hour news.
Oh, we don't want to do that. So it's live then.
It's going to be live.
1-800-966-1039. What is the average life expectancy of the common housefly? Think you know the answer? Give us a call. The phones are ringing already. So this ought to be pretty good. And there are some, there's a range there, so we can, and if you've won recently, let somebody else take a crack at it. We have a lot of repeat winners that come on to the show. Good evening. Good evening. You're on Maine
Hi.
Outdoors. Yes. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Becky, and I live in Holden.
Hello, Becky from Holden.
Hi.
Do you think you know the answer to the question?
I think I do. I think it's 28 days.
28 days. What do you think, Norm? Turn on your microphone, Norm.
Turn on the mic.
You're muted, Norm.
Well, tell you what, I don't think it's that long.
Well, actually, that is average.
It's average.
I'm going to accept that, Becky.
Oh, okay.
Average is between 15 and 30 days. It kind of depends on things like the temperatures and food supply. And also how good you are with a fly swatter as to how long a fly will actually live. But yeah, about a month roughly is sort of the optimal lifespan. I don't think we have any evidence of them living much longer than that, Norm. So I think that's the right answer, Becky.
Awesome.
So we don't have a described trivia prize yet. I'm behind on that, and I have a couple to pick up. So, but if you stay on the line and Norm will take your address and everything, we're going to get you something out here in the next week or two, courtesy probably of my friends at the Old Town Trading Post, who are very, very generous for me in getting trivia prizes. So do you have any other questions for us or anything you want to talk about?
No, thank you.
All right, Becky from Holden, nice job on that, and we'll get on with the show.
All right, I love it. Listen to it every week.
All right, thank you so much for tuning in. So Norm is going to take that information as we get into the rest of the show. We have a lot to talk about here. Probably in the next few minutes, we'll try to bring on Christy Holmes, our telephone guest, and she's going to talk about some of the work that she's been doing with Maine women hunters. And this is something that I think is really timely, going back to the early 90s when the state began promoting becoming an outdoors woman. It's something that the Fish and Wildlife Department has long promoted as a program. And one of the things that we found when I was in the legislature was that the fastest growing demographic at that time in the outdoors were a lot of young mothers, oftentimes because two-parent working families, kids want to get involved in the outdoors, a lot of single mothers. My Senate chair of the Fish and Wildlife Committee, Marge Kilkelly, she was a wonderful advocate for their outdoor heritage. And she got into the outdoors because one of her sons wanted to learn trapping. And, she was on her own. And so she took the course and found some trappers to help and would go out with them and then started doing other things in the outdoors. And that's kind of a fairly typical trajectory. But now there's a lot more in terms of programming that can be available for folks to get involved in the outdoors. And we're seeing the legislature do more to bring new people into the outdoors, too. One of my favorite changes that was enacted in recent years was the Apprentice Hunter Program, which allows people to go out with a licensed hunter without having to go through the hunter safety course. Just go out and try it. You got to be with a licensed hunter. And it's only good for like one season, and you can, try out bird hunting and get an apprentice license. And then you can make the decision as to whether to invest that relatively short amount of time to get through the safety course and get your own permanent hunting license. So these are some good programs to get people into the outdoors. And I think what we're seeing is we're selling more and more hunting and fishing licenses. And that tells us that, more and more people are taking part in this experience. So Christy's going to talk about that probably just about the second half of the show. We're going to reach out to her in just a little bit. And then we're going to, once we get everything squared away with Norm and our prize winner, then we're going to probably take a commercial break in a little bit and get Christy on the line. If you have anything you want to ask us during the course of the show, give us a call, 1-800-966-1039. And we'll see if we can get an answer for you. And we'll have a nice chat about that. So with that, we're going to get ready for the second half of the show here in just a minute. Once Norm finishes up what he's doing in the other studio. If you're tuned in late, this is Matt Dunlap along with Norm Plourd on WVOM 101.3, 103.9, and 95.1. The voice of Maine and Maine Outdoors. And We're getting ready. I keep saying we're getting ready, but we really, truly are. Just hang on, folks, just a second. If you came in late, we had a nice chat with Nick Archer of the Presque Isle Fish and Game Club, giving us the rundown of that show. We'd want to get some folks from Eastern Maine Sportsman Show, but they said that after the long weekend, they probably would not be available. But I got to go. It was a tremendous show. We got a couple more to go before the end of the month, and that is... That's something that we can all look forward to. So as it happens, we happen to have another caller standing by. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Fern calling from Norway.
Hey, Fern from Norway.
Matt, you just commented on the apprentice license.
Yes, I did.
And you said you thought it was good for 1 year.
Well, that's what it was.
Well, that's the way it started out.
That's the way it started out. That's what I remember.
And I think that was okay, because you don't have to take a safety course or whatever like that. However, those in power, be it IFNW or the legislature, I think you can do that 5 years now. And that is ridiculous.
Wow. I did not know that.
It's unsafe. If you can't make up your mind after the first year whether you want to hunt or not, all right, I don't care. You should go through the hunter safety course.
Well, I don't disagree. We don't usually have big fights, you and I. We've talked a lot of times on this show. But, you know, one of the things that we went through when I was in the legislature was the whole issue of hunter safety. And, you know, some of the proposals, which were enacted, actually, to, you know, bring back twilight hunting in the afternoon. And there was one other proposal that was not successful to reduce the amount of hunter orange that a hunter has to wear. And, you know, one of the things that we were fearful of is that we'd see a lot more hunting accidents or incidents. Accidents, you know, something that, you know, kids have in their potty training, but an incident when somebody loses control of their gun and they hurt somebody. The top reason why we've seen mistaken for game shootings go down to almost nothing has been because of mandatory hunter safety education. So I think your point's a pretty valid one there.
I'm not absolutely positive, but if it is 5 years, it's close to it.
All right. Well,
multiple years, you can do it now.
Well, we're going to look that up. We're going to look that up and see if we can find the answer to that, because that's a good point, and I'm glad you made it.
Thank you very much.
All right, Fern.
Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks, Fern.
Good work.
Fern, yes, bye-bye. Fern Bossy from Norway, is a master fly tier. Actually, I tied a fly, invented a fly pattern, and he was able to duplicate it in about 90 seconds. So much for my great invention. Do we have another one standing by, Norm?
All right, thanks.
We do. All right, good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
The Master Fly Tire.
Hello. Could you turn down your radio? Because I'm listening to myself.
About 90 seconds, so much for my great invention.
Hello.
Do we have another one standing by?
I think they went out of the room, Norm.
Yeah, they're going to have to call back in.
So, when you call in, turn down your radio because we can hear it. And it causes some feedback up here in Bangor. It's 100,000 watts. It's kind of picky. I think that they're calling back right now. So we'll take this call, and then we'll go to our second half of the show. Are they on? They want to ask a question of Norm. All right. So here we go. All right. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good evening. My name's Doug. I'm calling from Orno. Hi, Norm. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
We're doing real well, really well. Looking forward to a little snow so we can ride the snowmobile one more time, maybe.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question. My family and I have been fortunate enough to have a few moose in the past 20 or so years. We've been very fortunate. And I wonder, I've always wondered about those little white worms I eat all the time when I'm eating my moose.
The little white worms?
Yeah, the little white worms are the worm larvae that's in the moose meat.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. I didn't have any worms in my moose meat when I got my moose.
Well, it's been in several of mine, and the biologist said, don't worry about it, but I've never found out exactly what they are. And so you all said if I had a question, you could try to find me an answer.
Well, I wasn't lying. We'll try to do that. We'll find out an answer as to what those things are. If the biologists say they're okay to eat, they're probably okay to eat. I mean, I don't know if you've ever gotten a fresh piece of cod, but if you hold it up to the sideways to the light, you see all kinds of worms in a piece of cod fillet, but they just cook right out. I mean, it's probably the same thing.
Right, but see, a cod is a fish and a moose is an animal. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, they're all critters.
I'm closer to a moose than I am a cod, so I wonder a little bit about the, you know, parasite, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll see if I can find out during the show, and if we get the answer before the end of the show, we'll broadcast it, what those things are.
Well, thanks a million. Have a great night, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, Norm, I did say if you have a question, we'll try to answer it, didn't I?
Yes. Just a little extra protein in the meat. But
That's
good to ask, though.
Yeah, it is good to ask. We'll find out. All right, so we're going to take a break now. It's 7:30. When we come back, we're going to try to get Christy Holmes on the phone. We're going to talk about Maine Women Hunters in just a bit. Stay tuned. This is Maine Outdoors, 1-800-966-1039. We'll be back in just a minute. And if you're just joining us, this is Matt Dunlap along with Norm Plourd on Maine Outdoors here on WVOM, WVQM, and WRKD. the Blueberry Broadcasting Network, live from Bangor. We have Christy Holmes joining us here in just a minute. Before we take her on, we're going to have one more caller who may have a question. Hopefully they're not all trying to stump me. I think they're ganging up on me tonight, Norm. Good evening. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
You know, I have all kinds of interference on this phone.
Well, I
don't know.
I can hear you.
I don't understand why.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. I'm Jack in West Rockport, Maine.
Hey, Jack.
And I have a problem with being inundated with turkeys and seagulls.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I have much interference on this phone call.
Okay. So I'm not sure how to address your turkey and seagull problem.
Yeah, well, I have a blueberry farm.
Okay.
And at 81 years of age, I can no longer cope with all this baloney. But these turkeys, I have about 100 acres and an active blueberry farm. And these turkeys are all over the place. I mean, I have probably 24 every morning in front of my house and another dozen in back of my house, and it's common to have 2 or 3 broods at a time. And I've talked to the state about this in the past, and they have done virtually nothing. So do you have anything to offer?
That's tough. I know that with orchardists, sometimes the state will help pay for fencing to keep deer away from apple trees, but you know that's not effective with turkeys, especially with low bush blueberries. I just maybe encourage people to come and set up a couple of decoys and hunt them and try to thin them out and get them pushed off into another field or something. Seagulls, I don't know what to tell you about seagulls.
You have no idea how much I encourage people to come here and shoot these damn things.
Well, I know that's a frustration, but I don't think we can solve that problem tonight. But I think people listening, if they're looking for a place to go turkey hunting, they know where to go. They need
please come. Come and shoot these damn things.
Okay. All right. We'll put the word out, Jack. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Jack from West Rockport's got a turkey problem, folks. If you're looking to get a couple of turkey fans, go to West Rockport. We're joined now by Christy Holmes. Christy Holmes, I read her columns in a couple of different publications. She's a freelance writer, but she does a lot of other things. So let's meet Christy Holmes. Christy, are you on the line with us?
Well, she was.
She was on the line with us.
I think we lost her. Let me see if I can get her again.
All right, you get her again. I'll see if I can talk her up a little bit while you do that. So Christy Holmes is, if you follow her and her website, Maine Women Hunters, she is very active in the outdoors, the kind of active that I only wish I had time to do. She is an avid hunter. She's an avid angler. I believe she's a guide, and she also has a regular full-time job. So she is quite an ambassador for the outdoors, and she has been promoting this organization that she's a part of, Maine Women Hunters. And if we can get the phone set up, we'll get her. She's on the line with us. Christy, welcome to Maine Outdoors.
Hi.
Well, we thought we lost you there for a few minutes.
Yep. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Norm hung up on me, I think, but I'm back.
Well, I think he meant to hang up on somebody else, but you know how that can go.
Okay.
You know,
so. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So glad you could make a little time to be with us tonight. I was intrigued. I've read some of your stuff, and I was intrigued by some of the things that you were doing with getting women introduced to the outdoors. And as we were talking, near the end of the first half, some of the work that we've seen emerge over the last 30 years, from the becoming an outdoors woman program to some other initiatives, formal and informal, to get, to help people figure out the outdoors. So tell us a little about yourself, where you live and sort of how you got into this business. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. As you mentioned, the number of women in hunting and fishing is grown a lot, and we can get to that in a bit. But I was born and raised in Metrolla, down east in Washington County, and now I live in Gray on Crystal Lake, which is great because it's stocked with brook trout, brown trout, and rainbows.
Nice.
Yeah. So I grew up in Machias, real rural, raked blueberries, worked on a lobster boat in the summers. And after I went to college at the University of Maine for civil engineering, I hiked the entire Appalachian Trail. And after that, I was a bit jaded from hiking after that. I was like yeah. The AT is, it's obviously an amazing experience, but I needed a break from hiking. So naturally growing up down east where hunting and fishing and the outdoors is a big part of the culture there, I decided I'd get more into hunting because I really care, was starting to care about where my food came from. And so that's kind of when I got serious about hunting in my early 20s.
Nice.
And yeah, so.
Now, are you a guide?
Yep. Now I'm a registered Maine guide in hunting and fishing and recreation. And I write monthly for the Maine Sportsman and Bangor Daily News. Yeah. And then I founded this group, Maine Women Hunters. And it started as just a Facebook community, just to kind of have a safe place to kind of ask maybe embarrassing questions like, do you guys pee when you're on your period while you're hunting? Or how do you breastfeed when you're like out fishing? Like what questions that maybe people wouldn't feel comfortable asking if there were men in the group. And
not typically, you know, curricula you'd find in an average hunter safety class either, I would imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Well, and I know from my own experience, you know, it's also when women, the women I, in my life, when they've learned about the outdoors, it's better if they don't learn it from me. You know, I remember, yeah, I tried to teach my wife how to fly cast. And after about 5 minutes, I was told with that cold, icy stare that she was doing fine.
So. Yes, exactly. It can be very difficult to learn from a partner. And, you know, it can be intimidating. It's always intimidating to learn anything new. And then, especially if you're a minority, whether you're a female or whether you're a person of color or just a male trying something that's more female dominated, it's always intimidating. And then with hunting especially, now you're dealing with firearms, which can be overwhelming if you didn't grow up around them. There's a lot of laws that have to do with hunting. And, I mean, you're taking an animal's life. That's serious business. And what do you do after you catch the fish? Then what, you know?
Yeah.
How do you get the deer out of the woods? There's a lot to it.
Well, we all learned that the hard way when we shot our first deer, that the fun was over. Now the work starts.
Yeah.
And it is something that if you've never done it before and don't have anybody to really help you out, it could be a real problem. If you were to shoot a deer, like I, you know, when I started deer hunting, I lived in a little one bedroom apartment on the second floor, this apartment house in Old Town. And it, you know, it occurred to me that if I shot a deer, where was I going to hang it? I had nowhere to hang it from.
Mm.
And I'd have to take it somewhere to some friend's barn or something like that. And then people always think in those terms. But, you know, getting more to the specific about the group that you work with, you know, how did you identify the need for a vector for other women to be introduced to hunting? Is this something that as you took it up, people were asking you, or because you became more prominent in the outdoors, it drew more questions, or is it just plain organic somehow?
I think it was pretty organic. I mean, I saw, despite how outgoing and confident I was still struggling a lot. And there's a similar group called Maine Women Fly Fishers.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered that group when I was learning to fly fish. And I thought, what a great community, but we need this even more so for hunting for those other reasons I mentioned. So I just created the Facebook group as kind of just a fun place to share pictures and ask advice at first. And now it's kind of morphed. It's grown to over 6,000 members.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, we do not just hunting events. Actually, we don't even do that many hunting events because, as you know, it's hard to be successful if you're hunting in a large group because you're trying to hide. So we had a hare hunt yesterday in northern Maine, and
We went ice fishing this winter, just met up as a group for free, no charge. We've got a group canoeing to Allegash in June. We'll go ground fishing offshore in June. And then every year we go to L.L. Bean and take some skeet shooting lessons. So all of our events are pretty affordable, appropriate for beginners, good and experienced people alike. You know, I always like to go skeet shooting again before the season because I don't get to practice as much as I should be. And we will have a booth at the Maine Sportsman Show in Augusta. So if anyone's around, you'll have to stop by.
So let's just talk about the hypothetical young woman. We'll say she's young. She could be an older woman. But listening to this show tonight and, you know, maybe never thought about, you know, how they would go about this. It's just never occurred to them. But they're hearing us talk and now they're interested. How would they reach out to your group and maybe ask a few questions and decide whether or not they wanted to take this up themselves?
Yeah, we're on Facebook. Our group there is Maine Women Hunters. And we're on Instagram, Maine Women Hunters, and that's open to the public for men and women. And then we have a website, Maine Women Hunters, as well. And, you know, to your point earlier about the state's program, Becoming an Outdoors Woman, you know, the state's also doing a Next Step program, and that's for men and women. And it's kind of, it's another resource, like you mentioned, going above and beyond. How do you butcher a deer? Like things that are a little more advanced, things you don't get in hunter safety courses, which are now you can take hunter safety 100% online. So if you're a busy person, you can do, you know, an hour per night and get that done.
Yeah. And, you know, I've always kind of been of two minds about that because I valued the hands-on experience that I got when I took hunter safety. You know, I didn't need to take it, but I wanted to see what it was all about. And I loved the class. I thought there's stuff that, you know, I grew up in the Maine woods and there's stuff I learned in that class I didn't know. So I think that's, you know, those are some great opportunities for people to take this on. You know, since you've done so many things, I look at your pictures on your website. What's your favorite thing to do in the outdoors of all the things that you've taken on? You mentioned, you know, you hiked the Appalachian Trail. My wife actually hiked the Appalachian Trail after high school, too.
Cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, the work that you've done as a guide, as a, you know, fishing and hunting. What's your favorite thing to do of all of that?
I really enjoy ice fishing, probably because it has all the elements of, you know, you wake up early, watch the beautiful sunrise. It gets you outside in the winter when you'd really rather be just snuggling by the fire. And it's a nice balance of fishing and socializing. And then every time that flag pops up or the tip of your jig rod bounces, it's so exciting to, like, run to that flag and who knows what's going to be there. And to hand line the fish in, you know, I like fly fishing because it feels so personal that you can really feel the fish and every fish feels way bigger than it is. So I really like ice fishing because you get to hand line them in and feel that salmon go for runs. So that's probably my favorite thing.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Christy Holmes of Maine Women Hunters. This is Maine Outdoors with Matt Dunlap and Norm Plord. We thank everybody for tuning in. So what's the weirdest experience you've had in the outdoors?
One really neat experience I had, I was duck hunting one morning. So the sun was rising, and it was a beautiful sunrise. And then, like, a rainstorm blew through, and there was a rainbow. So there was a rainbow while there was a sunrise. And I had never seen that, like, a real rainbow. It wasn't just, like, you know, rainbow in the mist or something.
Yeah.
A solid rainbow. And I've never heard of that before and I've never seen it since. But
yeah, I mean,
that was really cool. We like stopped duck hunting. We were like ignoring the ducks. We were just so blown away by how beautiful it was. And, you know, here in Maine, we're so lucky that the outdoors is approachable for everyone. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to own a float plane like in Alaska where you have to be a bush pilot to go hunting. You know, you can live in Portland and drive 20 minutes after work and go hunting. Like, it's so close, and that's, we have all this undeveloped land. It's really a gem, and I hope more people appreciate it and take advantage of it for hiking, dog walking, whatever you do outside.
Well, I totally agree, because, you know, that's one of the great things about living where I live in Old Town. Is, you know, I drove less than 20 minutes to come into the middle of Bangor to do the show, and I could drive, like you say, 20 minutes the other way, and I could go duck hunting and deer hunting.
Yeah.
You know, Maine offers a pretty unique experience. And what you talk about, what you see when you're outdoors that has nothing to do with hunting or fishing, there's no other reason to be out there other than to go hunting or fishing. And then you get to see all that really incredible stuff. It is a nice benefit for sure.
Exactly.
You know, in thinking again about, you know, this in really intriguing work that the Maine Women Hunters are doing, getting, you know, people introduced to hunting and fishing, or hunting rather, primarily hunting, you know, in your experience, you know, what's the most common barrier for folks, you know, is that keeps them from doing it, that maybe you can help them overcome?
I think the biggest barrier that I hear about, and for me as well, and it's not, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, is finding a place to hunt, especially here in southern Maine. And then another one is just kind of being nervous, you know, about being out in the dark, or, you know, a fear of not making the perfect shot. You know, the reason most people hunt is because we want this ethical meat to eat and enjoy and share with our families. And then you're facing this dilemma of, you know, possibly wounding an animal and causing it to suffer, which can be very difficult to reason with mentally.
Well,
so I think that's a barrier too, especially for women. And I mean, I've heard from women who have had children, you know, I haven't had kids yet, and they say, you know, it's been hard since I had children. Like, since I've made life, it's hard for me to, it's so personal, you know? And we have so much respect for these animals, giving their lives for us. So it's you know, difficult.
Well, no, absolutely. And of course, you know, I think the obvious solution is to become an expert with your firearm. And that way, when you are ready to make the shot, you'll make a good one. I think we have a caller standing by. If you want to help us take a call, good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Sherry, and I'm calling from Woolwich. I would like to say I'm a 60-year-old, well, 65 now. I just started hunting a few years ago, and it was because of the becoming an outdoors woman. I was wondering, Christy, if you were going to have any workshops at the Becoming an Outdoor Woman workshop in May.
I don't have anything coming up. I've offered to help them, but they seem to have like a ton of volunteers really eager to help with that. We are having a workshop at the Maine Sportsman Show in Augusta. It's going to be introduction to beaver trapping, and it will be led by me and three other women from the group, and open to everyone.
So there you go. I mean, I think that's okay. I think Sherry.
Yeah,
I mean,
last year I went to the you and Judy and Judy and the kind of an open forum, and that was very,
yes,
very informative and really awesome. I just want to say
thank you
for all you do. I know we're on short time here with Maine Outdoors, so I'll say goodbye and hope to see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, thanks, Sherry.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Sherry from Woolwich. So, I mean, I think this is something that's growing in popularity, and obviously the department and organizations like Maine Women Hunters are responding to the need. This didn't exist 30 years ago, so this is quite a thing, and I think it speaks to the growing demographic and interest in hunting, and I think it's going to, you know, make hunting better overall.
Yes. Yes, and, you know, Maine does have a long history of women in the outdoors. The first registered Maine guide, Cornelia Crosby, she was a woman. And then our commissioner, obviously, Judy Camuso, is a woman. And the numbers I have since, you know, hunters on the whole may be declining, but women hunters in Maine are still increasing. Since 2011, we've grown by about 7,000 licensed hunters here in Maine that are women.
Yeah, the numbers are a little hard to track because we actually have more hunters right now than I think we've ever had, but it's a smaller percentage of the population than it was 50 or 60 years ago. Back then, you know, probably 20-25% of the population hunted or fished, and now it's probably more like, I don't know, maybe, you know, 10% or something like that. So it's the numbers are very strong, and as we learned from our friend and Jack in West Rockport, he's looking for some turkey hunters to come down to his blueberry farm, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I mean,
we can have a Maine Women Hunter turkey hunt there.
There you go, and I'm sure he would welcome you with open arms, given his frustration in dealing with wild turkeys on his blueberry farm. So do you have anything else you want to talk about in terms of what you're doing with this group and some of your other work as a guide?
I feel like I've touched on a lot of things, but I'll just, you know, say that I think it's very empowering, and it though it is intimidating, it helps you build a lot of confidence going in the outdoors and, you know, whatever you're doing out there. And our state doesn't have grizzly bears or mountain lions, so like the tick is the most dangerous thing, which is pretty dangerous. But yeah, just encourage people to get out there.
Well,
and try to find a mentor, you know. Hunter safety is great, but it doesn't quite give you all the tools you need.
No, and I think, you know, that's where organizations like yours and the local fishing game clubs, which we sometimes overlook, and for their importance in helping people get introduced to the outdoors historically. And now with more women in the outdoors, you have a new infusion of interest and expertise that's being made available to more people. So I think, you know, that's a really positive thing from my perspective. I know my daughter loves to get out in the outdoors. And, of course, she's busy right now. She's finishing up college. But that's the type of thing that, you know, that she's had the opportunity to be introduced to it. You never really lose it, you know, so it's a great thing to have. So we only have a couple minutes left. I do want to point out we have a couple of pending questions. Because the internet here is not wicked friendly, we don't have Wi-Fi in the studio, I haven't been able to get hold of anybody to answer the question about the parasites in the moose meat. We're going to try to get that answer and get it onto a future show for one of our other guest hosts. And also, too, we've gotten word that our old sponsor, General Appliance, apparently is not closing down. They're going to be changing hands, and they're still in Brewer, and they still have the same phone number. And we may see them yet again as a sponsor in this show. So it'll be really good to see that. But anyway, as we wrap up, Christy Holmes, I want to thank you for taking the time to come out and talk with us a little bit and to tell us what's going on. 6,000 members and Maine Women Hunters. That sounds very exciting. And we'll probably see you out in the woods at some point here in one of the things that you're doing, beaver trapping, duck hunting, deer hunting, bow hunting, whatever else you're taking up.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for having me, Matt and Norm.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be able to get in on a turkey hunt.
Yeah.
And
I think I know where I'm going to be going this spring, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So Christy, what's your next event? You said you didn't have one coming up right away, but you must have something planned somewhere soon.
Well, actually, we had a hare hunt yesterday,
yeah.
And then next weekend we're doing a fish art printing class. So we take, you know, a real fish, and it's like a Japanese art.
Yep.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I think it's like Gayutaku. And you put ink on the fish, and then you put rice paper down over the fish, and it makes a print.
All right. Well, we're out of time. Thank you so much again. We'll try to have you on again sometime, and good luck out there with all this stuff. And we'll see you again sometime soon on
Maine Outdoors.